Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is your boy, Jan van Potritter. So, for my first podcast, I thought I should start by talking about South Africa as a whole, like South Africa from the past until now. So, we all know how South Africa started, like for it to be a rainbow nation, it was colonized, right? So that's the first point we'll look at. So South Africa was colonized. So we all know what happens during when people colonize the country. They throw away your traditional cultures, which is what you see now. But at least here in South Africa, we still have the roots of those cultures. We still have traditional healers. Some people believe in it, some people don't, but we still do have traditional healers. And then as time went by, black people were oppressed. They were also oppressed during that time, but now they sort of like had rights. There was no such thing as slavery anymore, so they had they had something like rights, but their rights were oppressed. So it was Europeans this side and then black people this side. Like in South Africa, it was so bad to that point where black people were tricked into thinking white bread is healthier than brown bread. So what happened is that black people were not even allowed to buy white bread. That's how bad it was. So that's what happened. So I'll be focusing more on the effects, or I could say stuff that affect South Africa as a whole, right? So we had this thing, we had this thing of black people being colonized, and after being colonized, you had your mastermind. I call him a mastermind because his methods of color of separating black people even against themselves is still active even today. So you had your guy called Verfoed. So Verfoed is a mastermind. So what happened is that for apartheid to happen, he sent out people to go to each and every country where they oppress black people. So they went to each and every country where they oppressed black people, and then they come up with that structure, and then they made one structure of their own. So you can just imagine like how bad it was. Like it was a lot of structures. It's more like his strategy tells you that unity is everything. So he united all these structures and he made one thing. So which is why it's going to be hard to undo the damage the apartheid did. Hence today you find out apartheid is still there. People just don't see it, or let me just say people are just ignorant to see it. You're gonna have your South African middle class. I call them the debt class, because they buy everything on debt. Like they never buy anything cash. Everything they do, like they have like this huge credit. Like a person earns 25,000 a month, and then they get a credit score of something like 125,000. Like that's how much you can get. Like that's how much debt you can go in. So imagine earning 25,000 and then you get a credit of 125,000. That's just crazy. It must not happen. So those people, like they are the most ignorant ones, right? So to talk more about the apartheid, this guy created apartheid, right? And then after creating apartheid, I'm gonna call it like that. So I can't say apartheid. So I'm just gonna call it apartheid. So after he created apartheid, he also created the division. So I'm not sure if you guys have realized where there are Zulu speaking people and Sesotho speaking people, they are separated. Like, you're gonna find, like, is this the same township, but Zulu speaking people are mostly on, maybe we'll say A of that township, and then Sotho speaking people will be on B. So he made those people to see each other differently. So he separated the tribe. So that's how, like, that's how good this apartheid system was. So it was that good. Like, he made everyone to be separated. He made white people to be separated, but they were just separated from all. Like, if you go to Vereeniging, so Vereeniging is the, I could say, is the I'll just call it the capital city of Vaal, right? So here at Vaal, I'm just gonna tell you of the structure. Here at Vaal, you have Vereeniging, which is where mostly white people stayed. It is in the town, and then when you leave the town, you get Restavaal. So Restavaal, it's where colored people stay. So colored people, like, if you really want to see the structure of apartheid, I suggest you just take your car and then just go city to city, just to see how the structure is still visible and how is it going. Like, it's going to be hard to undo what he did. So it's gonna be Restavaal. And then after Restavaal, it's where only colored stays. And then after you leave Restavaal, it's Roshni. So Roshni is where only Indians live. And then after you pass Roshni. And then after you pass Roshni, you're gonna go, like, if you're gonna turn left, if you are from Vereeniging, and then after you turn left, that's where you'll meet the townships, which is mostly Sebokeng. It is your Sharpeville. Is booking it is your Sharpeville, your Everton, your Beverly Hills, and many others. So that's how we structured it. And then for those black people who earn a little bit more than others, they were not around places like Everton. They were more likely to be on Beverly Hills and stuff. So he made sure there will be this thing, a financial division, which is what I applaud him for. So he was a mastermind on doing that. So this whole structure of apartheid was thoughtful, hence you see what you see today. So whatever you see today, the racial division, economical division, like, it all started there, and they knew it will last for years. I'm talking to you now, it will also last for years. And then we have a problem. And then we got in 1912, the ANC was created, right? So to me, the ANC was never ready to be in power. I'll just put it as it is. The ANC was never ready to be in power. The ANC people never knew how to run a country. The ANC people were just fighters. We're just freedom fighters. I'll just put it like that. The ANC people were just freedom fighters. The ANC people didn't put people ahead. It's like, okay, you guys, you will be able to fight the freedom, but we will have people who are still learning on how to run the countries. Those very freedom fighters were going to be the people who run the country. That is where the recipe for disaster started. It started exactly there. Having your freedom fighters to also be your party leaders. that shouldn't have been the case. The ANC should have had, people who studied on how to improve. Like, the ANC knew they were fighting a structure. They were fighting they were fighting oppression, and then they were also fighting the apartheid system. But they never had a plan on how to decolonize the apartheid system, and also they didn't have a plan on how to run a country. So by the time our food was so good to that point where people were getting a very, very good education before. Hence, you have your Nelson Mandela was able to become, he was able to become a lawyer. And then you had your Thabo Mbeki. He knew more about economics. He was also sent abroad to study economics. So the education was good. Your Steve Biko, he was also illiterate, he knew more, he could see more. So Fairfoot saw that, and then he changed the education system for black people, and then he changed it to Bantu education. So Bantu education, meaning it will be for you, like, you could go check now in all varsities, in all universities, like in all universities. There is no course that teaches black people how to start a business. Yes, they might have it in those marketing classes and stuff, but they are teaching you how to work for someone. They are not teaching you how to start your own business. All the people who started their own businesses started it from their own head. So you have to be business minded in South Africa in order to start your own business. And that's the hard part, because if you start your own business without any knowledge, you're gonna fail, and then that's where you're gonna learn from your mistake. So your business might pick up after 5 years maybe, or even 3 years. So that's how the structure was made. It was made for black people to fail. So they knew it will be a recipe for disaster. The National Party, when it gave the ANC power in 1994, they were never going to do it. It was because of sanctions. That's why they did what they did. It was because of sanctions. People praise de Klerk as this guy who gave black people. No. It was never gonna happen. These people were killing black people. They were doing all sorts of stuff. So for them to give up power, it was because of sanctions. They were gonna undergo sanctions, because you need to remember, they killed a lot of people and then they were hiding it. They didn't want the outside media to see it and all that. So they were hiding it. So that's what happened. Sorry about that. So that's what happened. So the National Party giving ANC power to rule in 1994 and then releasing Mandela in 1991, it was all part of the plan. They knew black people. Hence, I don't remember, there was this other white guy who said a quote, and then he said, you can give a Bantu person to run a country, he will drag it to the ground. And that's what exactly that's happening now. That's what exactly what's happening. The power of the country was given to comrades. Hence, people call each other comrades in parliament. It is that mindset. A person who bought their qualifications is up there. Old people are up there running the country, and they don't even know how to run the country. So that's the sad part about South Africa. So all these things, they are just a recipe for disaster. All the stuff that I've mentioned, they are just a recipe for disaster. they are like South Africa is gonna go into the graves. I don't wanna lie. I'll just make one example. Fikile Mbalula was made a minister of sport. He was again made a minister of... He was also made the minister of police, of police services. Now he's a minister of transportation. So it's just recycling. They are basically just keep on recycling. They are just recycling leaders. So how can a person know about sport, know about police services, and also know about transportation? It's highly impossible. You need a person who studied who studied something to do with transportation, something to do with safety, and then something to do with sport. Because if you studied something in sport, you know what you can improve and then what you cannot improve. The guy doesn't even look like he does exercise in the morning, but he was able to be the minister of sport. The guy probably even never held a gun, but he was made to be a minister of police. And then the guy, he's now the minister of transportation. And all he does is public stunts. He's always there telling people to wear masks, telling people to wear seat belts. So that those are just those are just public stunts he does. So what I really wanted to pass, like, on this first podcast of mine, is that South Africa is headed for disaster. And white people knew that when they gave the power away. They knew you guys would be surprised with this whole lot of money. Like, I just want ask, like, if you are in your 20s, just go ask a person who lived through apartheid, and then just go ask them how the town was, how Joburg was during that time. Joburg was not filthy as it is now. Like, you can ask for any town. Everything was taken care of. I'm not saying apartheid was good, but I'm just saying the conditions back then were better than what we are experiencing now under the rule of black people. So the whole point of this podcast for now was just to tell you guys, South Africa is headed for disaster. Like, I'm 100% sure people can see it. We all can see it. Jobs are given to foreigners because people don't want to pay UIF, and then they pay people for less. There's a video of this guy from Facebook, is BI Pagati. He was doing a video. He went into a farm to talk to some farm workers. Those five farm workers, the other one was cooking, those five farm workers were given 50 rand a day to work on a farm just because white people don't want to hire black South Africans who will need the minimum wage, which is 3,500, I think, a month. So South Africa is headed for disaster. If the youth, specifically the black youth of South Africa, doesn't change things now, then South Africa will be headed for disaster. We need a better party, but I don't seem to see a better party myself, because I think they are all the same. South Africa should do what Singapore did. Then this kind, like, I always tell my friends, I'm like, Dubai was built in 24 years. the Dubai you see today was built in 24 years, right? So the very same Dubai that was built in 24 years, South Africa gained their freedom in 1994 after Mandela was elected president. But nothing has been done. It's because South Africa is busy electing comrades. Just because you fought in the struggle doesn't mean you should deserve a seat in parliament, because you don't have the necessary skills to run a country. That's my point. This thing of electing comrades is a recipe for disaster. And when the National Party gave power to ANC, whatever you see today, I'm gonna blame people who are not trying to change it, especially in parliament. But whatever you see today started back in 1994, when the ANC went into the parliament and they didn't have a plan. They really didn't have a plan. Whatever you see now, no one had a blueprint of it. Hence, people, like everyone, just wants to be president, but they don't have a blueprint of it. We have policies in South Africa, but they are not enforced. So we really need to know that South Africa is headed for disaster. I don't want to lie to you, but South Africa is headed for disaster. So thank you very much for listening. This was my first episode, so I just wanted to talk about South Africa as a whole. I'll be talking about a lot of stuff. I'm not specifically going to be talking about politics, but I'll be talking about a lot of stuff. So yeah, thank you for listening, and I'll be releasing, I think it will have to be every Tuesday. So I'll be releasing my podcast listening session every Tuesday, so you guys can be able to listen to it if you do like it, and then if you do like what I talk about, and also if you do like when I change to this golden voice of mine, because this golden voice of mine, it was given to me by God. So yeah, this is my golden voice. So you can follow me on all social platforms. On Instagram, it is at Sy the Comedist. You'll see the spelling there, right there on my AV, yeah. You can see it there. So at social media, Instagram is at Sy the Comedist. It is SCITHECOMEDIST. So I'm not a comedian, I'm a comedist. So that's how it started. I'm a comedist. And then on Twitter, you can also follow me. It's at Sy the Comedist. And then on Facebook, you can also follow my page. I think now it's around 18,000 likes. So on Facebook, it's 18,000 likes. So you can also follow me there. So it's Jan van Potgieter, which is my name. So Jan van Potgieter, it is my name also on Facebook. So you can just follow my page. Before, to verify if it's my page, I put a post, like I linked a post. That's the first post you will see. It has my Instagram link and my Twitter link. So that's how you can verify if it's me or not. So thank you for listening to my first podcast. I'll be doing more, and then you can just tag me on any social platform and tell me how it was. Thank you very much for listening. Until next week, Goodbye.